More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Family First. We'll explore the ways to give your family the priority it deserves and enjoy the relationships you're longing for. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful. Now,
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Family First. We're talking about all things family. In particular, you know, what makes it hard to have the family life you'd like to have? You know, are there certain conflicts that are creating tension in your household? Or are you having a hard time connecting for some reason? Does it just seem like there's never enough time or energy for creating the kind of family life and relationships your heart is longing for? We want to help you explore ways to give your family the priority it deserves and enjoy the relationships that your heart desires. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And we'll help you make those connections today on More to Life.
Now, certainly we're talking about the family that's under your roof, but hate to tell you this, guys, we're a week away from full-on holiday season. In many places, it starts this weekend. I know here in the Pittsburgh area, we start with light-up night tomorrow night, which means it all starts. And extended family can really keep you from having the family life you really want to have. And we deal with a lot of extended family stuff over the holidays, don't we? Sometimes even too close up, where suddenly the family that you've kept at a safe arm's distance for the entire year, you actually have to stay in their house over the holidays and spend a lot more time than you'd like and deal with present family conflict and old family wounds. So whether you're talking about the day-to-day goings-on under your roof, or the blended family that you have to deal with, or the extended family that the holidays are bringing your way, if you would much rather have a different kind of family than you have to deal with these days, we're here to help you get it on More to Life today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Family first. I mean, that's a nice thing to say, but it's sort of hard to do these days, isn't it? We sometimes get caught up in that trap where family life is the thing that happens in the 30 seconds we've got between the 12,000 other activities we've got going on a Wednesday evening, or whatever day of the week it happens to be, right? You know, but for the Christian, we need to kind of change that up. You know, the theology of the body has us think very differently about family. Because to the world, family life is something you have. But from the perspective of the theology of the body, family life is actually an important ministry that requires a conscious investment of time and effort, both so that God can use our family life to fill each family member's heart with the connection and love that we're longing for, and so that families can be an effective sign of God's love in the world. You know, as Catholics, one of the most effective ways we can evangelize the culture, and we don't often think of it this way, but it's really an act of evangelization, to refuse to settle for squeezing our family life in between work and sports and activities, and instead making an intentional choice to plan all those other important things around the time and energy it takes for husbands and wives and parents and kids to cultivate strong, meaningful, and enjoyable connections. And that's got to begin by cultivating more of a family-oriented mindset and asking ourselves all day long, how is this decision about how I'm going to spend my time and energy affect the quality of my relationships with my spouse and kids? And then making adjustments accordingly throughout the day, whether I'm approaching my chores around the house, or I'm organizing my schedule, or I'm choosing what activities I'm able to do. We've got to ask ourselves, we've got to have the ongoing running dialogue in our heads, how is this expenditure of time and energy affecting my relationships and my ability to be in relationship with the people that God's placed into my care? That's a very different mindset than the world asks us to have, and it's not easy to do, but when you can make that shift, it changes everything. It changes everything for you, in your heart, in your household, and it enables you, through your family and marriage life, to be an effective witness to the love of God in your heart and in your home. Beautiful words, nice ideas in theory, hard to live out in practice. Give us a call. What's getting in the way of you having the family life you're longing for? 877-573-7825.
And I have to say that this is not simply about planning to have things be a different way, because plans go awry really quickly. You know, you can get on, say, Pinterest or Instagram and see 1,000 ways to do these beautiful bullet journals about how you're going to run your household and have a wonderful family life and do all these things. And somehow these folks who manage to do this have time to sketch out everything and do it in calligraphy. I've never been able to do that. But even if you try to plan, we're all human. Days go crazy. I mean, I know personally, my dog exploded this morning. Like, exploded. Like, somebody put a grenade in her. And I had a plan for my day. And the hour and a half it took to clean up the house and put the dog back together has now derailed a lot of that. And somehow in the midst of it, you know, I'm supposed to work and homeschool and take care of other things and cook meals. And when life just throws you curveballs, whether they're silly, goofy ones like the dog exploding or the kids, you know, spilling something all over the house in the middle of your breakfast that you're trying to start the day off perfectly with, or whatever it is, or it's the really big ones that throw you the huge curveballs of life. How do you do this? How do you put family first and develop the kind of family life that lets God in and leads you and the people in your family closer to Him? That is a tall order. And most of us are grateful to get through the day. How do we combine these two things? Getting through the day and having a godly, loving family life. That's what we're talking about here on More to Life today. What are your challenges? What's getting hard about your family life? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Are there certain conflicts creating tension in your household? Do you have a hard time connecting for some reason and feeling as close as you'd like to your spouse or your kids? Does it just seem like there's just never enough time or energy left over for the people that really matter to you? Let's figure out how to move that around and get you the relationships you're looking for. 877-573-7825. Lisa, you know, in mentioning, you know, kind of what happened in the house.
No.
You know, the reality is crazy, unexpected, random stuff is going to come up all the time.
All the time.
But even, you know, what I was saying about being mindful about how is this going to affect my relationships, you know, having that mindset allows you to either approach all those things in the bigger context, because it's easy to get to a place where, oh my gosh, you know, now my whole plan's thrown off and I'm, you know, I'm so rattled and I just, you know, now I'm going to just, you just lose focus on the relationships. Mm-hmm. and you can start lashing out. You can start, you know, becoming completely thrown off and you forget, you know, that the people around matter, right? Or you can even get to the place where you just say, now I've got 10,000 other things to do on top of this. And mm-hmm. Instead of saying, how do I need to adjust things so I have the energy to do this in a way that allows for a relationship? And that's not easy to do. But at least asking yourself that question gives you a context.
It gives you a different mindset. It does. You know, so this morning, I'm sorry to be so graphic, but not only did a dog explode, but my daughter, who got up in the dark without her glasses on, walked through this experience, taking it with her throughout the house. And I said, didn't you feel this on your feet? She's like, I don't know. Something just felt kind of cold.
Oh, good
like,
Lord.
And I just wanted, the inner me would just want to say, are you out of your mind? And just like lose it. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. She's way more important than the carpet. And she didn't do this intentionally. She's not the one who did this all over the floor. You know, So I had to stop and I had to breathe and I had to say, well, if this happens again, honey, you know, stand in place. Don't move. Call for help. Okay.
Ever again.
But it took such a conscious effort to put that into perspective.
Yeah. And it comes from asking that question.
You know, it does.
How is the way I'm spending my time and energy affect these relationships? And, you know, that doesn't mean that we've got the patience of a saint or that we always deal with things perfectly well. But it means that we remember that the people around us really do matter the most. And how I spend my time and my energy impacts that all day long. And we've got to choose the better part. It's not easy, but it is a challenge. And it is what building the kingdom really involves, right? We talk about building the kingdom of God, and we think it means, I don't know, doing these big, amazing, heroic things, you know, starting new organizations, creating new institutions. What it means is check in your reactions and loving the person in front of you. That's what it means, building up those relationships. Not so easy to do, but it is beautiful in practice when you can remind yourself to pull it off. So that's what we're talking about today on More to Life, Family First. How can you deal with those conflicts that are creating tension in your household more effectively? How can you overcome those difficulties that are inhibiting the connection that you'd like to have with your spouse and kids? Does it just seem like there's never enough time or energy? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord and start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the gift of family. You know, we are reminded, especially by your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, that you, in your nature, are family, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you create us in your image and remind us of the importance of family life as being a primary ministry, a way that you fill our hearts with your love, and you give us the opportunity to witness to that love in the world. But so many things threaten our family life and relationships. We ask you, Lord, for the grace, for the wisdom, and the ability to refocus ourselves and our energy on putting family first and planning everything that we do in a manner that is respectful of the relationships you've called us to have, so that our hearts can be filled with your love and we can bear witness to that love in the world. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
With that, we're taking your calls right now. 877-573-7825. What are the things that are getting in the way of you having the family life you'd like to have?
Let's talk now with Anna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Vermont.
Hi, Anna. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi, how are you?
Doing just fine, thanks. What's your question for us?
I'm wondering how to handle delicate situations in terms of visiting a family member in Connecticut who's sick now with cancer, and I want to go visit her, only we really haven't been communicating much at all for years. No, actually, we have minimally communicated, but not necessarily been visiting on a regular basis. I haven't been to her home in 20 years, probably, since her husband was verbally abusive to me, and she also can be verbally abusive, so I stopped going there. And now, of course, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm thinking about going down to visit her, and I'm wondering, how do I protect myself? How do I still go in to see my sister, visit my sister, pray with her, and yet protect myself, too, from a bomb if it happened to go off? Like,
do you have any idea of what you imagine could happen based on the kind of interactions that you've had with her recently?
Well, I have a feeling that I'm hoping and praying that things are going to all subside because she's not well. I'm hoping that any kind of
they may not. I would not go in with that assumption. I mean, you can go in with that hope, but I think it's always better to prepare for what you think could happen. Not to expect the worst, but to be prepared for the most reasonable things that could happen. So based on your most recent interactions with her, what do you think could go wrong here?
I think because she's not well, she probably will not blow up. She's not going to have, like, an episode of attacking. But he might, and he might, and I haven't talked to him in years, but he might, like, oh, what are you doing here? You never come and visit, and now suddenly you want to come visit. I don't know. So I'd like to definitely be prepared to how to respond to his negative connotations. And
okay. Good. Exactly. So those are the kinds of things that I'd like you to spend some time on. I have two suggestions for you. The first one is the time, and this is a good general tip for anybody over the holidays. You know, the time for working out historical stuff with your extended family is not the holiday time, okay? And it's not when you're going to go visit during a crisis, okay? So all the history that you guys have, as hard as this is, you want to leave that behind for now. If you do want to work on any of that history stuff, it has to happen after. It has to happen over the course of the year. It has to happen when the crisis is over, but it can't happen right now.
And I think the first step to this is ask if they even want you to come. You know, they are in the midst of a very difficult crisis, and they might be, you know, trying their best to get through every moment of the day and having a difficult family situation thrown in their faces right now might not be what they actually need. So
you
step
could,
one, don't inflict yourself without knowing that you're welcome.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think that's an excellent point. And then the best way to go about that is just to say, look, you know, everything in me wants to come there and be there for you. But the first step is I don't want to complicate your life.
Right.
You know, what would really be helpful for you? Would it be good for you to, would you like to see me? Or do you need a little bit of space and I can come and visit later? You know, you're not saying, you know, do you want me to come or not? You know,
absolutely not. It's not
you're
a
saying,
challenge.
I want to be there. Okay. But I also don't want to make your life more difficult. So would it be good for me to come? Would you like that? Or would you rather I schedule a time after this treatment or when? You know? So you just talk it out with them. So you get that invitation first. But then having said that, step two is what I started to say there, where you need to leave the past in the past for now, not forever. But if you're going to deal with any of the historical stuff, you have to deal with it after the crisis or, you know, after the holiday or whatever it is, okay? And how do you do that? Well, if her husband or if she brings something up from the past, what do you say? You say, you know, that's a really important conversation. I'd like to have that with you after this. But right now, I need to be here for my sister,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's so he says, well, nice of you to come now. Where have you been all these years? How come you know, that's a really important conversation. I'd like to have that with you after her cancer treatment's over, and we can kind of settle down and talk about it then.
Or after we've gotten through the pressure of the holidays plus everything you guys are going through, but right now I just want to spend some time loving my sister.
Okay. So you acknowledge the thing that they're trying to do, and then you defer it. So this way you diffuse the situation that way. By refocusing on what's the most important thing. You know, in your case, it's being there for your sister in her cancer treatment. For somebody else, it might be, you know, that's an important conversation. I'd love to have that with you. Let's focus on enjoying this meal together as a family mm-hmm. right now. And we could talk about it later if you'd still like to. You see what I'm saying? You're not saying, I'm not going to talk about that with you. Or you're not getting sucked into the drama.
You're not taking the bait. I mean, that's step one. You know, where this is not on our mortal life hacks for the day, but I'm going to throw it in as a bonus mortal life hack. Don't take the bait, people. You know, we can get riled up because certain relatives really know how to push our buttons. But if we go in with a mindset, it's almost like putting a child safe cap on something. You know, we have those caps that you can put on a stove or an outlet that doesn't let a kid, you know, stick a fork in the outlet. If we can do this emotional work of saying, this is the way, these are the questions and the accusations that could come toward me in this situation, and I'm going to choose to react in this way that validates the person's concerns but puts it off for another time, and I'm not going to personalize this, that takes care of an awful lot of what can go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. The last step, Anna, write it out. Okay, don't just do this in your head. Actually write out what you imagine they could say and how you're going to respond to it. write it out, look at it. Writing that makes all the difference in the world. As long as it's in your head, you're just ruminating, and chances are you'll forget about it. You write it out, that makes it more physical, puts it in your muscle memory, you're going to remember to do it. Thanks for the call, Anna. God bless you, and we will certainly add your sister to our prayer list here, and if there's anything more we can do to support you, you know where we are. We've got to take a break right now. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the challenges of having the family life that you'd like to have on our show titled Family First today. Do certain conflicts create tension in your household? Are you having a hard time connecting with the people that you love most for some reason? Does it just seem like there isn't enough time or energy for the family life that you'd like to have? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Damon Owens of joytob.org. He'll be talking with us about the ministry of family life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
Catherine Hadro.
Every week, I get together with a team of pro-life experts to shine the light of truth on abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the culture of death. We'll help to inform you so you can become engaged in the pro-life movement. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, more than a show, a call to action.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly with Catherine Hadro, Sunday morning at 10:30 on EWTN Radio.
It's time to take control of your healthcare journey and experience healthcare fully alive with CMF Curo. Krista and Justin say,
we love having the understanding, decision-making, and control of our healthcare in our own hands and having the option to bear one another's burdens. But most importantly, we love helping others when they need medical support.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry that values the health of the whole person, spirit, mind, and body.
To experience healthcare fully alive for you and your family, visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often, we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about family life and the important role it plays in God's plan for, well, sharing his love with us and the world. Joining us right now, Damon Owens of joytob.org. He's here to talk to us about what the theology of the body has to teach us about the importance of family life. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Lisa, great to be with you guys.
So we said earlier that, you know, for the world tells us that family life is something we have. But for the Christian, especially someone who's familiar with the theology of the body, family life is actually a ministry. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. And one beautiful connection with the theology of the body and family life, a little factoid. When John Paul II delivered the beginnings of the theology of the body, the very first audience referenced the bishop's gathering to speak about the family in the modern world. So I've often pointed to this theology of the body. It is about marriage, it is about the human person and identity, but it's worth noting that when we talk about family life, it was really the first application of the theology of the body back in 1981 that he referenced right in that very first audience. And I think what's important to acknowledge is the theology of the body gives us, like our faith, the why behind the what. In other words, it's the principles to help us to understand that what we're doing, the hows, the great gifts that Mortal Life and your ministry for years has helped us with, it has a foundation that is deep and it's strong and it's true. And that is, it's the truth about who we are. So when we find seven ways to make your marriage great or three big problems or how to resolve conflicts, we're not just one voice among many. It's not one idea among many in the big self-help section. But John Paul II in the theology of the body reminds us This is who we are. The truth of these relationships, why the school, the family is a school of love, is because the human person is made for relation in the image and likeness of God. And we have to build this. We have to grow in this. We have to struggle and become. And the family becomes the place where we not only become the abstract idea, but the real concrete reality of the truth of who we are, good, bad, ugly, and the fact that we're called to holiness.
You know, those are some really powerful ideas, and I think it's a very different way of thinking about family than the world tells us to think about family. I guess, you know, in the last minute that we've got left, if you were going to suggest, you know, this sort of the practical significance of what you were just sharing, what would you say you wanted our listeners to kind of take away from what you were just sharing?
Yeah, so the principle is that because it's hard does not mean that it's wrong. Because it's hard doesn't mean that we're doing it wrong or that it's not worth it. It is so worth it, only because we can be confident to know that being made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, means that we grow in holiness precisely in the suffering, precisely in the struggle to know who ourselves and to know other people in the intimate family relationships that reveal our flaws and our weaknesses and all the things that we might be reflexively want to hide. No, as a school of love, this is where we learn the truth about who we are and open ourselves up to God to become who He's created us to be.
Powerful stuff, because it ultimately means that embracing the cross doesn't just mean putting up with the people around me. It means really learning to love and overcome those flaws that you were talking about that stand between me and being that loving, encouraging, grace-filled person God wants me to be. If folks would like to learn more about your work, they can go to joytob.org. I encourage you to check it out, folks. And when we come back, more with your questions about family on More to Life.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on and we got talking, and she said somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. When you have conflict with your spouse, how do you react? All couples have disagreements, but your reaction to that conflict can be the difference between a happy and an unhappy marriage. Here are two common relationship-killing habits to avoid. Number one is expecting your spouse to read your mind. This easily leads to negative communication and anger that escalates the conflict unnecessarily. Take the time to identify this in yourself. Verbalize your thoughts. The second relationship-killing habit, withdrawing from the conversation when your spouse complains or criticizing. This could be a sign that you're bored or apathetic toward your spouse's feelings. A better approach would be to participate in the conversation, making sure your spouse feels heard. Gain mastery over these two relationship-killing habits, and you'll be one step closer to living a truly exceptional marriage. For more tips on how you can effectively resolve conflict in your marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about family first. What makes it hard to have the family life you'd like to have? Do certain conflicts create tension in your household? Are you having a hard time connecting with your spouse, with your kids for some reason? Let's talk about getting those barriers out of the way so that you can start enjoying and living the family life God wants for you. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Patricia, who's listening on Guadalupe Radio in San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, Patricia. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. All right,
sure.
Me and my husband, we have like a multitude of kids. It's a great life. Wonderful, wonderful. But me and him, our relationship has just gone to the pits. We don't really discuss, because when we discuss, it just turns out it's not good. He takes a lot of jabs at me. And just throws me under, but just different things. And when me
so
makes
Patricia, give me a specific example of.
He always comes in, but he don't just discuss. It's only when we're having a conversation, he'll come in and just kind of, I don't know, ruin the conversation. And I really don't want that kind of relationship. It's, yeah.
Sure.
So, do you have
Patricia, can you hear me? Because
yes,
I'm asking you a question here. Okay, so give me a specific example of something you'd like to be able to talk with him about. And the kind of reaction you might expect to get from him.
Just a nice conversation where it doesn't end up going down the tubes. Does that make any sense or not?
Well, I mean, in general it does, but give me a specific situation. Like what would happen? Okay, so you go to him and you'd want to. What would be a nice conversation you'd want to have, and how would it go down the tubes?
A nice conversation I would want to have with him would be probably like our life, you know, just going and doing something fun, enjoying each other's company. And
so if you went to him and said, hey, honey, I'd like to go see a movie this weekend. I don't know what you'd say, but just for the sake of argument, let's say, you know, I'd like to go out and get a cup of coffee with you, right? Like, would he just turn around and start yelling at you then? Or I mean, what would happen?
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. He might want to go, he might not, but if he did go, he would just be negative a whole lot.
About something in particular, or just?
No, just about whatever he chooses to be negative about.
Now, Patricia, is he negative with everybody? So when he goes to work or he's in a social group?
Oh, actually, you know what? He does his job. He doesn't really, he's negative about that. He is real negative. He doesn't like his job.
Even at work?
He doesn't.
Because it's one thing for him to come home and complain to you, but if he's at work, or let's say he's out with the guys for a night of bowling or something like that, is this his personality 365, or is this something he saves for home?
Okay. No, I think you just hit on the nail. It's somewhat his personality.
Okay, so last question, then I got some thoughts for you. How have you tried to address this with him?
Well, a lot. It's hard to. I kind of stay to myself because I just, man, it always turns out yuck. So
okay.
I pretty much just.
So really, you don't address it with him, okay?
No. All right.
So what happens a lot of times when we're dealing with somebody who's like this? Is that we don't bring it up until it's already happening, and then it's too late to bring it up, right? Because the tension's already there. And we talk a lot on this program about the difference between, there are different things we can call it. We could call it the adult self mindset versus the child self mindset. You could call it a solution-focused mindset versus a misery-making mindset. Either way, the point being that when we're in that adult self / solution-focused mindset, our whole brain is turned on and functioning, okay? So our limbic system, which is responsible for all of our emotions, is churning out feelings. But our cortex, which is the higher-level thinking brain, is taking all that emotional energy and redirecting it in constructive ways, right? But when we get stressed out in the moment, when I'm upset about something and I'm, you know, already kind of yelling or fussing or fuming about it, my cortex is offline. You could actually watch that happen on a functional PET scan, for example, where the cortex just goes dark and all I got left is my emotional brain, you know, just off-gassing, right? And at that point, I'm not really thinking about what I'm saying. I'm just reacting to stuff. And if you try to address the problem right then, well, I'm just going to react even more. So if your reaction to his reaction is to just shut down and withdraw, well, you're stuck in your limbic place too, because that's a different kind of an emotional reaction. When we're stuck in that limbic place, we either pout and withdraw, which is what you do, you tantrum and scream and holler, which is what your husband does, or you just sort of run off at the mouth and just say stuff and lecture and just talk.
And of course, when we get into this cycle, it gets bigger and bigger, like a snowball rolling downhill, when we keep that pattern up, because every time we hit a new conflict, it picks up a little bit more of this behavior, and we hold more and more grudges about it, and it just makes everything worse.
So it's got to start somewhere, right, Patricia? So it's going to have to start with you, because I'm talking to you, okay? And the best way to break that cycle, because you're both triggering each other to go into that emotional brain where you just react. Your reaction is to pout and withdraw. His reaction is to tantrum. If you want to short that circuit and actually redirect the conversation to a more productive way, you're going to have to learn how to self-regulate better so that you don't shut down, pout, and withdraw. So you can get to the place where when he starts acting that way, you can look at him lovingly and be that woman of strong woman of God that says, honey, I love you, and I'm happy to talk with you about this. If we could take it down about 10 notches, what can I do to help you calm down so we can have a productive conversation here? Now, that's completely against your nature. I can just tell based on the conversation that we've had so far. Okay, when you get stressed out, you either start just talking, or you just shut down and withdraw. You're going to have to learn how to get a handle on that so that you can just be that calm, firm, direct presence in the face of this kind of conflict. We have suggestions for how to do that specifically, how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love on the self-regulation chapter. I mean, part of that comes down to slowing down your speech. Part of that comes down to praying about the conflict when you're in the moment. Part of that comes down to reminding yourself that, he's not out to get you, that he's in reaction, and that you have to help him through that reaction and then not take it personally. That's all easy to say. It's another thing to actually follow through on it. So we walk you through different exercises in that chapter in how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love that I think will be helpful for you. But if you find that you need additional support beyond that, and I suspect you guys will after all these years of marriage, then you want to seek out some good marriage-friendly counseling in your area or work with us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute. And I would say start with you. Start with you learning how to get that reaction under control so you can set that effective, loving, but firm boundary with your husband's behavior, and then bring him into the process as well so that you guys can learn to stop triggering each other and start working better together. You mentioned that you have this great life except for your marriage, but because you have, lots of kids.
Which says a multitude of kids, which I love that idea.
But you know what? Parenting is all about teaching relationship to our kids. If we're the best parents in the world, but our marriage stinks, we're teaching bad relationship lessons and we're undermining the entire point of parenting. So even if you feel like you could get by, until all the kids left the house, I'm going to encourage you not to, because your kids deserve to see parents who know how to be grown-ups around each other. And you guys don't.
And who are willing to work on skills, because none of us, not one human being on the planet, is born with all the skills we need to have great relationships with everybody. This is a work in progress, and it's okay to say, this has gotten to a tipping point, and I'm not really happy where we've gotten with each other, and we're going to work on this.
Amen. Patricia, thanks so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, if you'd like to learn more about the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, you can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com or on EWTN Religious Catalog. If you'd like to learn more about our counseling practice, you can check that out at CatholicCounselors.com as well. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you about the challenges that stop you from having the family life you'd like to have. Are there certain conflicts that are creating tension in your household? Are you having a hard time connecting with the people in your household for some reason? And you're just not sure even why, right? Does it just seem like maybe there's never enough time or energy to really engage with each other the way you'd like to? Well, we're here to address all those obstacles and more and help you draw closer to your spouse and kids and have the family life that God wants for you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And we'll help you take the next steps. As we head out to our next break, it's time for a More to Life hack for remodeling your home life. And that's check in with the architect.
It's important every day to sit down with your spouse and kids and ask God, the architect of your domestic church, what He wants you to be focusing on as a family. When you first wake up, before you do anything else, get everyone together briefly to pray a morning offering for your household. Say something like, Lord, we give you our family. Help us to be the people you want us to be for each other. Help us to look for the little ways to love each other better, to serve each other better, and to understand each other better so that we can fill each other's hearts with your love and be better witnesses to your love in the world. Amen.
You know, of course, you use your own words, right? But keep it simple and keep it personal and give your family life to God at the start of the day. Having the home life God wants you to have begins with asking Him every day, all together as a family, what are those little home improvement projects that He wants you to take on? How can you be there for each other? How can you be a little more loving to each other today? What are the things you need to be a little bit more sensitive about today? How can you show up for each other today? Well, God has a plan for your family, and you can discover that plan by meeting together each morning with God in a brief, was that 20 seconds that you, that prayer that you did?
Probably.
You know, a brief 20, 30 seconds even, that will change up the entire day. Just ask God to give you the grace to cooperate with His plan. 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Let's talk it out together, and we'll help you find ways to overcome the obstacle standing between you and the family life you'd like to have. 877-573-7825. Stick around. More to life coming back after the break.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
New from EWTN Publishing and just in time for Christmas, it's The Spiritual Wisdom of Mother Angelica. This 7-book box set includes Mother's Quick Guide to the Sacraments, Mother on Christ and Our Lady, her Guide to Practical Holiness, and of course, Praying with Mother Angelica, and more. The Spiritual Wisdom of Mother Angelica. Available now at EWTNRC.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
And now's the time to start following those social media links if you haven't already, because as we go into the holidays, you're going to get a real peek into what goes on around here over the holiday week.
So inquiring minds want to know.
It'll be a lot of fun, and we'll want to stay connected to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And, yeah, if you do want to follow us on Facebook, it's Facebook with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, or on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. With that, let's go into the phones now. 877-573-7825. Who's up next?
We're talking with Erin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Erin. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi. How are you?
So my question is, my husband has moved out about 8 months ago. He comes home. He's home a total of like 24 hours during the week to see the kids, and he's been threatening to divorce me this whole entire time. And my question is when do I know when it's time?
Well, so what precipitated the separation? What's going on?
So it was last New Year's. He basically told me that something was off with our connection, and which I agreed with. I just didn't think it would lead to him then saying that he didn't love me anymore and that he had nothing left for me and that he wanted out. So I tried going to a Catholic counselor who didn't help much because he didn't participate. He basically went and just said he didn't know what he wanted, and then she gave him a time limit to say what he wanted to do, and basically he said he wanted out. And that was back in March when that conversation happened. And then I just said, no, I'm going to fight for my marriage. And so I've been just telling him, you know, that's not what I want and that's not what's best for us and for our family. And I just don't feel our marriage got a fair chance, just with having young kids in the mix and other things leading up to that, like postpartum depression and, you know, just stuff when your kids are newborns.
He just comes to the house once a week at this point, and what kind of interactions do you have?
He comes in the morning when I work. He's home for like an hour and a half or 2 hours to kind of relieve me to go to work, and then when our babysitter comes, and then he'll come home like every other evening after work to kind of quote unquote help with the kids. And then
if he's not having an affair or anything like that at this point?
Not that I know of. I've asked him several times. I've tried to kind of do a little bit of investigating, you know, through like cell phone bills and things like that, but okay. Not that I mean I wouldn't know, I guess. I don't think so.
And are you getting any help at this point?
Yeah, so I'm doing this program called Marriage Fitness. It was an online program that I started, and there's a coach through there that I've been talking to like once or twice a month, but he's basically helping me try to get him to come back to the marriage. And okay. So that's the kind of the help that I'm getting right now.
Okay.
Because I just had bad luck with counselors, with therapists, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know when it's time to, you know, say, you know,
well, my feeling is if you're asking that question, then it's not time. Because, I mean, you know, the way I help my clients figure out whether the relationship is going to work or not is by working for the good of the marriage. You work to say, okay, look, this is what a healthy relationship looks like. I love you. We're going to do these things. And what happens is, and you consistently, you create those rituals, you create those structures that say this is what a healthy relationship looks like. And as you do that, as you develop the strength to be able to take the lead in that relationship and you know, set up those things, the other person either is dragged along even kicking and screaming to making the relationship work better, or that effort to make the relationship healthier and bring God's grace more into the relationship chases them away. Either way, you're working for the good of the marriage. You're not killing the relationship. You're not deciding to end it. You're in the entire time working for what's right. You're working for your husband's good. You're working for the good of the relationship. You're trying to do what God is asking you to do. And by doing that, you become a more effective instrument of God's grace. Well, if God's grace repulses him and causes him to run away and file for divorce, you got a bigger problem than a marriage problem, and you can't control that. Okay, but the entire time you're working for the good of the relationship. The problem comes in where people are afraid to do that because, well, gosh, if I start working for the good of the relationship, maybe he won't come along. So now I have to kind of like piddle along with this and hesitate and not be sure. And when you do that, it sets up these situations where you live in a perpetual state of limbo, okay? So my encouragement to you would be to start identifying what do you need to do to work for his good, to work for the relationship, to set the boundaries that you need to set on this kind of weird relationship that you've got right now, but at the same time invite him into processes that will help him, help the two of you have a healthier relationship. I'm sorry you had that experience with counseling. It's a big mistake for any marriage therapist to say, okay, well, you need to come up with a time period. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's completely arbitrary. And anytime somebody asks you that, the person's going to say, well, I'm just going to be out.
Yeah.
Because you're forcing them into a choice.
And really, you can't put a time limit on healing anything. That would be like if you went to an oncologist and they said, well, we're putting a time limit on how long we're going to treat this cancer. And after that, we're just giving up. Like, you can't do that. It takes time to heal anything, and it takes real buy-in from both people. So I'm sorry.
I'm not sure the nature of the coaching cancer that you're getting right now. If you feel that it's challenging you to be able to recognize what a healthy relationship looks like and be able to present to him, look, this is what we need to do to make a healthier interaction wherever we're at and build from here, then great, keep it up, okay? If you don't feel like it's consistent with what I'm saying, then I'm going to encourage you to get in touch with our group, because as you say, you had some bad luck with therapists. I can guarantee you that you won't have bad luck with our group, because our group is not going to give you that kind of advice. That said, the most important thing right now is for you to not give up, okay? If your husband wants to divorce you, that you can't stop him from doing that. But when people kind of go into that place, the most important thing that you take away from this call is he's depressed, okay? This is not a marriage problem. This is a depression problem. Nobody's identified that. And how do I know that? I'll tell you exactly how I know that. When you have a marriage problem, you go to your spouse and you say, gosh, I'm not happy with this part of our marriage. We need to do something about that. And then you make a plan and you fix it. Okay. When you have a depression, you say, I'm just not happy and I don't know how I feel and I just don't have it in me anymore to love you. That's not about the marriage. That's about him and his inability to manage his emotions well. That's a depression talking. Nobody's identified that depression. And you can start by saying, you know what, honey? I've realized this is not a marriage problem. This is a depression problem and you're not getting the treatment that you need for this. And so I'm talking with this therapist to figure out how to help you with your depression.
Yeah, and frankly, you're probably still dealing with depression yourself a little bit here, because you said you had postpartum depression. Your kids are still really, really tiny. You're reeling from all sorts of stuff that you went through. You're exhausted, and that exhaustion often melds right into depression again. I highly encourage you both to get into counseling for depression and into counseling for the marriage situation. This can definitely be saved, but you've both been hit with this tidal wave of stuff in your life and nobody's dealt with helping you heal from any of it. And so all of these feelings are looking for a way to escape the feeling, and he's saying, well, let's just not deal with each other.
But here's his strategy right now, okay? He's depressed, which means he can't motivate himself to do anything appropriate. So he's just hoping to wait you out. If you can pull the trigger on, if he can wait you out and get you frustrated enough to call the divorce lawyer and file the papers, then he gets to be the good guy. He gets to walk away and say, you know I couldn't get my stuff together, but she just finally, she's had enough and she just kicked me out. And he gets to walk away and feel like, I didn't divorce her. You need to send the message to him, look, honey, I love you too much to let you destroy yourself, me, and this family. You are depressed, you're not dealing with it, and I promise to love you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, and that means I'm sticking with you through this depression. But you got to get your crap together, and I'm not going anywhere. And in fact, I'm going to make sure that that's the hardest thing that you can do is divorce me. You know, I'll wait for the next 20 years if I have to. I'm not letting you take the easy way out. You are working on this relationship with me. And if you want to be here with the kids, that's what's going to happen.
Well, and I know you're probably too exhausted to really want to buy into that. That's why you need to get a little personal counseling yourself here to help you take that hard stand. And if you're saying, well, Greg, I don't really feel like I love him enough to fight for this, love the sacrament of your marriage enough to fight for this the way Greg is talking about. Continue to try to find the help you need.
Yeah, because ultimately it's not about those feelings. It's about the commitment that we make to do what's good and to do what's right and to work for the good of each other. Even like Damon was saying, when it's hard, even when it brings out our brokenness, even when we feel like doing anything else but that, I can promise you that if you embrace that hard work, there's good stuff at the other side of it, just like there's a resurrection after the cross. The only time that we experience that failure and that sense of complete hopelessness and despair is when we don't hold on to the cross until the resurrection. When we let go in the middle, and we just die there. God bless you, Aaron. Thanks so much for the call. I'm sorry that you're struggling with this, but there is hope. Hold tight. And that goes for any of you listeners out there who are struggling in your family life. There is hope. There is help. And if we can help you out, don't hesitate to reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the resources we discussed in the program today, like How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, or our book on raising faithful kids, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. You can watch hundreds of free Power Break videos and check out the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com or call 740-266-6461 to speak with a therapist. God bless you, folks. Have a great day. And remember, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.